Last night, close to midnight, coming from London, England, after touring London and Ireland, and also she went to Rome in a weekend quick visit. Before that, she toured about 16 states in the United States, and she's starting today her Canadian tour. So we have asked for your patience and your indulgence, and asking if you have any question, please raise your hand, and somebody will pass to you with a piece of paper and pen to write down your question, and we'll try our best to accommodate as many questions as we can. Tomorrow, Mother Agnes will have another appearance at 1180 Albion Road, Edessa Banquet Hall, where we're coming close to the center of Toronto and the West End. We hope that so many people will be able to hear the message. After that, she is going to Montreal for two events in Montreal, one in the afternoon with the press and a public event at 7 o'clock p.m. And from there, she's going back to Ottawa for a day, hopefully with a meeting with a couple Canadian politicians, and then public event at St. Paul University. So you can appreciate it's very crowded tour within a few days. Keep in mind that the pressure being put by some element of the opposition, and opposition is fine, as long as they stick to objective ways and means to present their views. But imagine the people who are calling for democracy, the people who are calling for reform, have contacted, shame on them, Canadian Customs and Border Agencies requesting Canada to ban Mother Agnes from entering Canada. Shame on them. If you have really claim for democratic demands, so you welcome the opportunity to debate. You welcome the opportunity to engage. But unfortunately, with the current plan to further divide and fragmented, the region, we all remember Sykes-Picot. But what we have right now is much more aggressive and ugly version of Sykes-Picot to break the area based on ethnicities, not just borders. And if you have any doubts, please, go online, check the blood borders. Very important seminars was delivered by a think tank leader in the U.S. Army. His name is Ralph Peters, and the title was Blood Border. It was delivered in 2006, was published in the U.S. American Military Journal with maps of the current Middle East and other maps with the proposed new Middle East. And you all remember the new Middle East by Condoleezza Rice, which was announced in Tel Aviv when Lebanon was burning by the Israeli plans. So we are getting close to the question, and hopefully we'll have some good Q&A period, and we'll start from now. Question, I believe in forgiveness and peace, but can you tell us what are the ways to stop the kingdom of hell from sending the army of devils to my country?
I said that there is no possibility of reconciliation with the foreign fighters. They must go out. And lately, 6 days, since 6 days, even the Vatican, he took a good position saying that the Syrian people should isolate and oppose and put out the extremist, okay? So we have to continue lobbying those government to stop fueling extremism in Syria and helping the Syrian people to come together more and more. We have good news that some people of the FSA that are liberal are helping the Syrian army to get rid of the extremists.
Please forgive me if I can't read properly most of the question, but I will try my best. Question number two, Syrian crisis may be coming to an end, inshallah, but similar model of being prepared for Pakistan with some operatives, mercenaries. Any comment, please?
I think that an international alliance is beginning to grow between those people who experienced the interference, the malefic, the evil interference of this new world order. Pakistan is shaking, but other places also, like Somalia, like Sudan, they want, you know, to shake everybody, even in Africa, and we heard also in South America. So we have to oppose. Slowly by slowly, the public opinion can make a difference. We had this miracle of the vote of the House of Commons in England. It was a surprise, even for Cameron, even for Obama. They would not wait for such a thing. And now everything has changed. So we have to keep having hope and opposing these evil deeds with our determination, with our love for abiding for human rights and humanitarians, international rights, and all more and more getting people to work with us, making partnership and workshop to be aware about what is happening. It is a real war against terror.
She just made me do it. She mentioned Obama and Cameron, and I cannot be quiet. You know, when you hear the West talking about democracy and the human rights and reform, just keep in mind, this week it was revealed that the U.S. was spying on the G20 when they were here in Canada back to 2010. Also keep in mind, many of us as a Canadian were in the streets in that famous June 2010 protesting the G20 with peaceful means. All what we have are black cards and flags. And what did we get? We got brutalized by the police, by the RCMP, and by other security forces from across Canada. It cost Canada $1.2 billion. $1.2 billion. It's a million plus another extra $200 million just to keep the so-called security. This is how they claim human rights. Remember what happened in France at the days of Sarkozy, when the poor of the banlieue de Paris, you know, the surrounding area of Paris, revolted because they have no job, they have no housing, and they revolted. They were shot at by the police. Many young men, especially of African descent and North African descent, were killed by the French police. Remember Cameron, when other youth in Leeds and other area close to London also revolted, and they were brutalized by the police. And here recently, remember our young Syrian, 17 years old man, Sami Yatim, with a little knife and an empty bus. A little knife, an empty bus, no danger to anyone, and he was shot 9 times. He was hit by 9 bullets, but he was shot 19 times. 12 or 13, and because he has a little knife. So when they talk about democracy, I want to ask them, if we have guns, and if we were attacking government institutions and government buildings, when we have demonstration here in the street of Toronto and Quebec and in Ottawa and Vancouver and other place, would they tolerate us and respond by giving us flowers? That tells you how untrustworthy they are. Now the question to Mother Agnes, thank you for your fantastic summary and lecture. You mentioned about foreign mercenaries and the international support by US, Britain, France, and Gulf states. What is the reason that brought all those outsiders on a single platform against Syria and Syrian people?
It's a mysterious question. I can't tell you. I can't tell you how people of so-called civilized countries, they can enter in such a plot to dismantle and bring distress and misery to other countries. It's like when you decide to kill your neighbor. What is your motivation? Whatsoever can be this motivation, it's fullness. And it is a crime. So,
the Zionists.
Pardon?
The Zionists.
Yes. I think that somehow some of the reasons is to bring security to the most racist and apartheid country in the world. I don't know why everything is possible to give to this country this security. But I hope that this will not happen, and there will be an intifada where everybody will just raise and be determined to have the international laws to be obeyed and to be applied even by those people.
Thank you. I have two questions, and they are close to each other, so I will read them at once. Question number one and two, Mother Agnes, have you been negotiating removing the sanction against Syria and its people with the international community? And what are you doing to stop sponsor of terrorists like Saudis and other places?
We have been in the reconciliation preparing a list of 10 points to help reconciliation in Syria. One of the points is to stop... The sanctions. Because the sanctions, it's sanctions against the Syrian people. So there are no medicine, there is not enough food. It's very difficult to go and bring and buy things when the central bank cannot issue credit letters, LC, and other things. We remember that in Iraq, their sanctions, they killed more than 500,000 children. And when Mrs. Madeleine Albright was interrogated by a reporter, was it worthy to kill 500,000 children? She answered, yes, it was worthy. So what do you want us to do with such people? A woman, I don't know if she is a mother. How can a woman say that it is worthy to kill 500,000 children? So we are talking, pardon?
Because she's a Zionist.
Well, she is a Zionist, yes. How is it possible? So we are treating with the most evil empire that have ever appeared in on earth. And we have to be tight and continue to work together to see how to get rid of this. The second question was
about terrorism sponsor.
Well, you know, in Arabic we say hamiha haramiha. The one who is protecting is the one who is robbing. So it's everything upside down. I think with, you know, working and talking and lobbying, we can slowly by slowly have put a pressure so that those people, they will be more human. I think that our little efforts, they can give big fruits, and that's why we have before us many good examples of big transformation happening with small steps. And that's why I want to encourage you to do those small steps, hoping that the Lord, with the prayers of many, will give us the push to arrive with small means where others are putting big means, but the small means like David and Goliath, if we understand it in the right sense, the little stone of David will kill the big Goliath. Thank you.
Is the presence of Iranian Hezbollah troops, Iranian and Hezbollah troops, quote unquote mercenary, to stabilize the situation in Syria?
Well, you know, there have been a fueling of thousands of foreign fighters coming from 80 nations inside Syria for more than 2 years until the battle of Qusair. For the Battle of Qusair, it was the first time that Hezbollah would appear officially. The reason is that around Qusair, you have 8 Shia villages that normally are relied to Lebanon, but they are inside the Syrian territory. I can witness that those villages were terribly treated by the foreign mercenaries, so much that Hezbollah, who is implemented in Hermel, very near, enter to help liberate those village and entered in the Battle of Qusair. Afterwards, it was, yes, a balance. Because of the fueling of foreign fighters on the side of the opposition, Hezbollah and other battalions from Iraq, I don't know if we have something from Iran. Intelligence, yes, but I don't know if we have battalions from Iran. They entered because you have from the other side the fueling of 150,000 jihadists that are sowing violence and destruction everywhere. So I agree with this position.
There is a question. Can you mention the names of the groups that tried to prevent Mother Agnes from entering Canada? Actually, internet is a wonderful thing, but also it's very, very interesting in a way that people can hide behind pseudonym names, behind funny names sometimes, and sometimes behind so-called brave names. So there is no single group put out a name as a group. But you see, come Facebook and Twitter here or there. But anyway, this is the situation we have. The question to Mother Agnes, you mentioned that world opinion barred the U.S. and its allies to have carried bombardment against Syrian installation and infrastructure. But this was projected to be done on the allegation of chemical attack on Syrian civilian population near Damascus by Bashar Assad regime. What is the truth behind this chemical attack? Please highlight the reality.
Sister Carmel and myself, we were in Damascus the night of the chemical attacks. We heard this day terrible bombing from the army on Ghouta. And reality, it was a very large attack of the army against Ghouta. At 4 o'clock morning, we heard many ambulances. Then we knew that it was 20 to 30 ambulances bringing soldiers that had suffocated in Jobar, in tunnels of Jobar. Now, about the chemical attacks, we have seen that the inquiry was biased. The inquirer, they entered hastily inside Muhaddamiya and some other point of East Ghouta. They were framed and accompanied and protected by Liwa Musa al-Ash'ari, something that is related to Liwa al-Tawheed. and everything was prepared by them, so it was biased. I have a video where a nurse is saying, I brought to them fresh samples because lately the government shelled us another time and we had more chemical attacks, and so I brought to them a fresh victim from the chemical attacks of the 27th and not of the 21st. So there have been a big manipulation. Now, the results of this inquiry are weird because in some places there is no traces of sarin gas in the air, in the geography, but there is on the persons, which can be explained by an artificial ingestion of sarin gas. In all cases, I have done a study where I propose evidences of the staging of some videos, namely the video number 1, number 6, number 11, and number 13, of the videos presented by the Intelligence Community Services to the Congress. I was brought to observe those videos because some families of the Latakia mountain, whose relatives were massacred by Jabhat al-Nusra, recognized some children abducted after the massacres by Jabhat al-Nusra. They recognized them among the victims of the chemical attacks. So I had to track those children. And tracking them, I discovered the weird and mismatching that was presented inside the videos. You can see this study if you type on Google, scribd, 50 pages, Mother Agnes Mariam, chemical attacks. You will have this study. It is a beta version. I am preparing the final version with better presentation. It will be an interactive presentation. And with new evidences, thank you. But in this study, I do not pretend to take the place of an inquiry. I say that I am not expert, and that I am not approaching the case neither from a military point of view, neither from a medical point of view or a forensic point of view. It is only the point of view of a normal observer that has detected in the material of the video prefabrication and the staging. Thank you.
And talking of the internet, so it gives me the opportunity to say we, the Syria Solidarity Movement, are on the internet, and the link in about it says who they are, we are, with our names and with our picture on it, so we're not hiding anything. And we have no party, no group, nobody behind us. All the work we do it voluntarily, on our own time, on our own dime. And when we have events like this, we ask people to help as much as they can, so somebody will be passing around a box or a bag or something. So whatever you can afford, please do so. With the permission of Mother Agnes, you want to answer this one? There is a question to do in regard to the Vatican and the Pope, and with all due respect to the Vatican with what it represents and to the Pope himself, so I will just read the question. What is the Pope's position on your stance? Why is the Catholic Church silent on this issue? And I don't know if it's silent or not, but this is the question.
You know, the Pope is just coming, and he didn't have the time to be informed about what we are doing. In all cases, the positions he is taking, you can follow his speeches on Syria, and the interview of his Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Monsignor Mamberti. He is saying he is adopting the same approach that we are adopting, not first of all to safeguard unity and sovereignty of Syria, second, stop fueling weapons and inside Syria. Third, oppose extremists inside Syria and work toward forgiveness, dialogue, negotiation, and reconciliation. The Catholic Church was silent until the coming of the Pope Francis, because due to all these big campaign of disinformation, the Vatican was in this orbit of non-informed state that was just paralyzed, not knowing where to go. Now, Benedictus XVI, the Pope that is before this Pope, when he was in Lebanon, adopted completely, we made our file arrive to him, he adopted completely the approach of reconciliation, and he was mentioning reconciliation in each one of his discourse. Now, our task is to see the Pope very, you know, for at least half an hour. We will go as a delegation, and we will propose to him all what we are doing to receive his blessing. Until today, I have to tell you, there is a big campaign, as you see it here, there is a big campaign also in the Vatican, and some people in the Vatican are afraid, and they would prefer for me to retreat or not to go everywhere. But as I am invited before the warning, this warning, I will continue my tour, and then there will be a negotiation to see how to proceed in the serve in my mission to support the reconciliation in Syria. Thank you.
I still have four questions in my hand, and I will try best to just go through them. But please, before you leave, make sure you know you visit the Beit Zeytoun table, and you know, grab a real olive oil bottle, and you know, for the people who know Arabic, za'atar and other things. So this is a question related to what Mother Agnes was saying, and it says, "Peace, Mother Agnes. I believe you are doing a great work, but how it will end if not all support of aid from the kings and puppets of the imperialistic powers who are pouring in billions and billions for a terrorism and other stuff would be, you know, compared to the work you're doing?"
You know, our experience is that all these billions and all these apparatus, this structure of this, it's a beast of mainstream media, more than 500 all over the world, saying the same propaganda and related with a big network and functioning with billions of dollars. All those people saying all these things day and night. If I came once to say half an hour of a press conference until today, it is a nightmare for them. So you put them on a balance. I see that 1 gram of truth is worse than tons of lies. So we have to continue with our means, you know. It's not only money. Their money is putting them into very bad and dead ends, you know, ways. And you have seen during this crisis how countries like Turkey or like Qatar, they withdrew. They cannot do anything, you know. They have been really defeated. And in the beginning of the revolution, you had 120 friends of Syria. Today, they have not even 10 friends. So they are defeated, but they are not defeated by money. They are defeated by goodwill and by values. So we have to continue to base ourselves on values, on honesty, on truth, on love, on solidarity, on transparency. You see, the Syrian crisis is like a judgment, like a divine judgment. Everybody is just naked. We are like, I don't know how you say in Arab. Jaljali, it is a purification and a judgment. So we have to keep our hope and fight with the good arms of the spiritual jihad. The spiritual jihad. The spiritual jihad is the jihad, you know, of the values, of the virtues, of faith, of hope, of dedication, of love, of fraternity, of cooperation. These are the virtues. We need this, and I am sure that this jihad will prevail.
And talking of spiritual jihad, and please, Maulana Ali, correct me if I'm mistaken, I learned from my Islam is when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preparing the army to defend Islam and the Islamic land, his message to the troops was, you do not kill a wounded people. You do not touch a child or a woman. You do not follow someone who is fleeing from your battlefront. You do not destroy homes, trees, and agricultural land. And you do not, you know, execute people with no pure trial, if need be. So I don't know, those acts, where are they from Islam and the Islam of Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam? So I have three questions here. One is to do with the Sheikh Adnan Ar'ur. Why, you know, the International Criminal Court doesn't, you know, prosecute him, I think, I don't know. If I wanted the International Criminal Court to do that, because it will give him much more than what he deserves. So I leave it up to Mother Agnes. Another question is, what is the ratio of foreign fighters in FSA and opposition, and where they identified, and which nationalities? And by the way, The Guardian has published several months ago in very interesting and informing article, and it's The Guardian. It's not Al-Manar, it's not Al-Akhbar, it's not Syria News. It's The Guardian. And the title of that article is, Who Speaks for the Opposition? Who Speaks for the Opposition in Syria? And it has listing of all the groups, the American think tank, the French and British think tank, and the power behind them. And the last question is, are your reconciliation efforts engaging the international players in the Syrian conflict, or are you working with the local Syrian fighting parties, including, you know, the opposition, and are you free to travel inside Syria?
I did ask those, nobody said
that. The ratio of foreign fighters in FSA and opposition following a report from the French surgeon who worked in Aleppo in 2012, why two-thirds for one-third? Two-thirds for foreign fighters for one-third Syrian. Now, concerning the invasion of Kalamoun, like Kara and Nerder Atiye and Nabek, I can tell you that it is not like this. It will be like one-fourth. You have a facade which is Syrian, but then everybody is from Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, many other countries. And we have direct witnesses because our village is Kara, and the Free Syrian Army was preventing Jubhat al-Nusra and ISIS, Daesh, to infiltrate. But they could not keep. We had 300 fighters of Jabhat al-Nusra, of Free Syrian Army, who were in a statu quo through the reconciliation committee. Those Syrian fighters were in a statu quo. They were holding the village in peace. But on the day, I think the 18th, I don't remember, Sister Carmel, when was the invasion? Well, yes, in the 18th, we were in the United States. We have been told that more than 3,000 fighters, foreign fighters, entered inside Syria. So it is one-tenth. They entered inside Qara, and they invaded the village, and they continued all this. They are identified, their death, you know, or when they are caught prisoners. And following the registered of the Syrian government, we have 80 nationalities. Now, the International Criminal Court and the United Nations, we are really lamenting how much they are slave of the interest and the pressure of United States and allies. So they are not directing any denial to Mr. Harour and to the Wahhabis, all the contrary. Saudi Arabia is paying a lot of money everywhere, and they are in need for this money, so they just keep silent. What we have to work for is to raise good diplomats that are not in need for money, they are not slave of money, so that not to be bought by anybody. And the final question, I hope, in the reconciliation effort, we are working on the local Syrian partners. We do not consider that the foreign fighters are part of the reconciliation. They must go. But we lobby the support of the reconciliation everywhere, in countries, in Congress, in Senates, and in House of Commons. That's how we work. And we are free to travel inside Syria. I travel inside Syria whenever there is a minimum of security. I have been dwelling in very dangerous regions like the province of Idlib and the province of Aleppo, just to track some abducted people, see where they are, and also to be a direct witness of the situation in the so-called liberated areas. God bless you.
Mother Agnes doesn't like to talk about herself and her work, but just to share with you, one of her latest efforts was to save the life with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of more than 5,000 people in the Adamiya region, where she negotiated directly with local opposition and the army of the regime in order to have a safe passage for those. So brothers and sisters, once again, thank you so much for being here tonight. And I'm sure you would appreciate with me the presence of Mother Agnes. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her and reward her for all the humanitarian work she does. And brothers and sisters, we are here in our heated home, good cars with air condition and with heaters and all this stuff. Remember, there are thousands and thousands of children, of widows, of elderly people, maybe with tent or no tent to sleep in. And we know how the weather in the region coming into the winter, especially in the mountains. So please get connected. Let's stay connected together and see what we can do. Because inshallah, after this tour, we will be launching a Canadian initiative to help the people of Syria. And we will be calling on all of you. And just final note, If you are savvy and on the internet, just go on YouTube and Google Mother Agnes and George Galloway, who's been here several times. When she was in London, he refused to let her go without interviewing her. And read the latest article by the New York Times, where it says Mother Agnes now is emerging as a power broker in the region, inshallah, for a peace. For peace. So thank you so much. We appreciate you, and we always appreciate Brother Zafar Bangash himself and his family and this center, and we appreciate you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you safe and reward you for all good human deeds you are doing it. And thank you so much. Thank you, Mother Agnes.